We begin in China this morning, where perhaps only Secretary of State Hillary Clinton really knows the fate of Chinese dissident Chen Guangcheng. He's free, not under house arrest, supposedly under condition that he be allowed to continue his law school studies and his advocacy on behalf of alleged victims of Chinese government-forced abortions. But now he's telling reporters that he fears for his life and for the life of his family and wants to leave for the United States when Secretary Clinton concludes high-level talks in Beijing. This is just the kind of high drama in a crucial global partnership that a U.S. Secretary of State has to be prepared for at all times.
I want to reiterate our profound sorrow at the loss of life and injuries resulting from NATO's mistaken bombing of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade. The people of China should know that NATO leaders, including President Clinton, have apologized for this tragic error.
That's Secretary of State Madeleine Albright responding to the inadvertent bombing of the Chinese embassy during the air campaign against Serbia during the Clinton administration back in 1999. We spoke with the former Secretary of State yesterday to get her reaction to the Chen Guangcheng affair. And Secretary Albright conveyed to us how, in her experience, relations between the U.S. and China can slip to the brink in an eye blink.
Well, I think here it's hard to know what all the details of it are. I do know that Secretary Clinton has always been very, very concerned about human rights and has spoken out about Chen himself specifically and then other human rights issues. There always has been an aspect, and I was involved in this myself, how, in fact, one deals with this, what is public and what is private, and how these various arrangements are taking place. I think the important point here will be to see actions and not just words. I think that it will be interesting to see if, in fact, as has been reported, he is going to be allowed to get some medical treatment and reunite with his family. But I think we'll have to see how it is carried out. And then at the same time, what makes this so difficult and actually internationally interesting is that both Secretary Clinton and Secretary Geithner are there as part of ongoing talks that the U.S. is trying to have with China to kind of regularize the relationship across the board on diplomatic and economic issues, as well as there are also military-to-military talks that take place at various other times. Our relationship with China, whenever one talked about it, we used to say it's multifaceted. And it certainly is clear at this point how multifaceted it is. And the case of Mr. Chen is part of it, and we'll have to see how it's carried out.
And this particular incident, Chen Guangcheng, the dissident in the U.S. Embassy, apparently there were threats made to his family. But the key issue that I want to ask you about is, you know, this was done with the clock ticking. They had to make a deal before Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, arrived for these talks that you've just described. Can you recall a situation where a very sensitive negotiation had to take place under that kind of time pressure? And did the time pressure help or hurt?
I don't remember anything specific like this, but I can generally tell you that sometimes having a time pressure actually helps. Because it does, it requires a recognition by both sides that there are a whole host of issues that need to be discussed and how one is linked to another. And I teach and I talk sometimes just generally about the action forcing mechanism of a Secretary of State arriving somewhere or a president arriving somewhere. It is often it moves the entire system. I can't recall anything that is exactly like this, but on the whole, sometimes a deadline like this does make a difference.
One of the things you write in your book, Prague Winter, is about the level of sincerity or insincerity on the part of the governments that you're familiar with in terms of the rights they actually put down in the laws of their land. Sometimes they're completely ignored. Sometimes, as in the case of Czechoslovakia, they're something that are revered and understood by all of the people of that nation, even under the enslavement of the Cold War. In the case of China and this particular instance, here you have an individual, a dissident, attempting to force China to abide by rule of law that they've actually put down but don't typically follow. Is this conceivably a new track on human rights in dealing with China in the sense that you're getting them to do what is on paper in China, even if they don't honor it?
Well, I, I think one of the issues always is it rule of laws or rule by laws? I mean, we started when I was a secretary, they had a number of different issues on the law books, and the question was really to make them abide by what they said. And so I do think that's a very important part of pushing towards the rule of law, which is essential to the functioning of a modern state.
Václav Havel says something very complimentary about your book on the back cover. I know that you knew him well. Do you need individuals like that on the world stage to push nations to make decisions they wouldn't otherwise make? And how much do we miss Václav Havel today?
Václav Havel is very much a part of the Czech story. And one of the things that he was known for is the whole issue of Charter 77, which took place during the communist period. And the purpose of that was to make the Czechoslovak government live up to the laws of the Helsinki Final Act, so that it was a matter of X country, and Czechoslovakia was one of them, signed on to it, and the point was, this is what you said, will you live up to it? So the role of the individual is one of the very basic aspects of this book, in which I talk about how what a difference it makes who is the individual. So, for instance, if one had Churchill in office rather than Chamberlain, what a difference it would have made. What also happens if individual leaders operate on wishful thinking rather than fact-based, so that Chamberlain hoped that Hitler would be different. Roosevelt hoped that Stalin would be different. I do think you need brave individuals that stand out and do what they believe in. And Václav Havel, I think, is one of the major figures of the late 20th century and the beginning of the 21st, and who understood the importance of the individual, and of course his very famous essay, The Power of the Powerless. And in some ways you can see this going on. And he did speak out a lot about human rights in China. He made a big point of speaking out about that. And one of the last pictures that I've seen of him was him going to the Chinese embassy in Prague to complain about and make a point about what was happening to the human rights activists in China.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. Tomorrow we'll continue our conversation on global leadership and her unique personal history that she discovered during the Clinton administration. And we talk about her new book, Prague Winter.